The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys. Okay, so we had a fun idea. And it's basically because we have such busy and interesting lives that we have nothing to talk about. So we had the fun idea that we would do kind of a getting to know you episode, like a little...
Like a question game.
Essentially like a question game. We're going to do, you know, mommy and daughter, and this is our Oprah show. And just so that you guys can get to know us a little bit, because we talk a lot of ish on this podcast, but we really never... You know, tell you about us.
Right.
You can Wikipedia.
Where should we even start?
Okay. So I feel like let's start with names, birthplaces, and birth dates and what they mean to you. So, Tara, where were you born and when?
So June 10th, 1982, in Philadelphia.
The blessed day.
At Memorial Hospital, but I'm not technically from Philadelphia. I am from South Jersey, so near the Cherry Hill area. So they just, you know, drove on over, and I was born in Philly.
Yeah.
We're both Pennsylvania babies.
We are. So, guys, I was born in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And what's funny is Coatesville has turned into, you know, a bustling little metropolis in Pennsylvania, southeastern Pennsylvania. But I was only born in the hospital there. And then I moved immediately to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, in Quarryville, which is a village that for my whole life there had only one stoplight. And I was born on July 2nd, 1984. And it was a blessed day. I was born at 4:02 in the afternoon, as my mother tells me. And apparently I waited just long enough so that she could finish watching General Hospital.
I love it.
Yeah. So my mother brought me into this world as soon as her favorite show was over because she was too busy to have... Essentially, because
she's
too busy watching.
Mommy is not going into birth right now. I hope you know that.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Johnny, if that will be your name. Oh, did your parents ever tell you if you were a boy, what your name would have been? Or did they just always?
Christopher.
Uh-huh. Christopher Lipinski. That sounds very Christian.
And not Chris. It had to be Christopher. Christopher. Like, it would be like a full name.
Yeah, I'm not so big on shortening names. I like, you know, if your name is Jacob, it's Jacob. It's not Jake. I'm only Johnny to differentiate me from my father because, you know, we look and sound pretty much exactly alike.
But I love the way you spell your name. I like it.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
My name was supposed to be Rachel if I was a girl.
Ooh, Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel. Rachel Weir. That's a... Try and say that real fast.
Rachel Weir. It's a lot.
Rachel Weir. It's like a weird way of moving your mouth. So thankfully, my parents didn't call me Rachel. things were already weird enough as Johnny Weir. And Weir sounds a lot like queer. That's probably the biggest nickname I got called when I was little was Johnny Queer. Mm. And... yeah, it's fine, though, because queer is woke. So queer is woke. Well, people identify themselves as queer at times, and I don't really know what that means.
You're woke.
They're woke. It's a woke is queer is woke. But a funny thing, I forget what I was going to say. It was funny in my head, and I lost it because I'm too woke. It must not have been that funny. Yeah, so let's tell the people. I mean, they know about our PTSD with our childhoods and skating, but what was the rest of your childhood like? Like, where did you go to school properly, or did you get right into the sparkly dresses and not going to school?
No, so my parents were originally from North Jersey, Jersey City and Bayonne, and then they moved out before they, like, waited a long time to have me. They got married at 23, and then my mom, I think, was 31 when she had me. And by that time, we were in South Jersey, and my uncle, you know, my Uncle Phil, who's so close to me, my uncle, my aunt, and his two sons, and he's not really my uncle, but he was like a father figure, you know, to me my entire life still is. And, you know, he was such a huge supporter of my skating, and he did this whole thing, like he did my lucky, like superstitious,
chart?
No, like before I went out and competed, I had a thing with him where we do this like thumbs up thing because I had read the Liz Manley book. Who's this? Okay, long story, but Liz Manley is...
No, that's... We got nothing but time.
So Liz Manley was a Canadian figure skater, and she had a book called Thumbs Up. And she, you know, tells her whole life story and, you know...
So Liz Manley was kind of rough and tumble, and she was one of those skaters that never really did amazingly. But then at the Olympics in Calgary in 1988, I only know about this after I've been a grown-up because I was four... But she came through with like the most brilliant and amazing performance and ended up on the podium.
And
so that's how she became
famous.
She has
this like bubbly, vivacious, really cute personality. But anyway, I read her book and I loved it. And there was this whole thumbs up thing. So it became, my uncle gave me that book. So it became a thing with us. And I had a little charm necklace that was like my good luck charm that said thumbs up. And my uncle and I would do the thumbs up sign before I ever skated. And we'd say thumbs up. And it was like our good luck thing. And so anyway, he's been a huge part of my life. I mean, he's still there in South Jersey. So I miss him dearly. But we lived like two cul-de-sacs apart. And so I was really close with, you know, his two kids. And before skating, I mean, I guess skating happened really early on, though. I mean, I was 3 years old when I started roller skating, but mainly that's like what I remember as a kid is like Eric, who was his son, and like my parents and Uncle Phil and Aunt Edith, and we would just hang out constantly together. That was it. Like, no, my parents and them, they didn't have any other friends. It was just them in movies, and then we'd like the kids would come and stay one weekend at our house, and then we'd go to their house the next weekend. So I do remember it always being like this really fun family unit that I think was nice for me since I am an only child and my dad's an only child and my mom's brother died very young. So we didn't have, you know, extended family in any way. So having them was like a big part of my childhood. So I'd say other than skating, like those are the type of family memories that I remember and like the dynamic. But yeah, I went to St. Teresa's. I was first started off at St. Jude's and St. Teresa's in Runnymede. And, you know, skating in University of Delaware, driving an hour every day and crossing that bridge and, you know, just starting the grind of figure skating.
Yeah. And then when did you stop going to proper school?
Sixth grade. So I had already moved. So I went to Texas. The family got transferred for my dad's work. And then I went to school there at Highlands Elementary. And
What?
And then when I moved back to Delaware is when I started homeschooling.
Nice.
What about you?
I went to all the way through middle school in Pennsylvania. And it was very, you know, normal childhood in that way because I didn't skate until I was 12. So I went to Quarryville Elementary School, and now I have a little wing in their library because I donated some books. So I gave back years ago, and I'm very proud of that. And then I went to, where did I go? Claremont Middle School, and then I transferred to Swift Middle School. Also all in, it's called Solanco, so Southern Lancaster County is the area. And then we, long story again, but then I got into, so I was riding horses and my family had moved so that I could be closer to the barn where we stored my horse and where I trained and stored my horse, where we stabled my pony. Okay, so where we stabled my pony, we moved so that we could be closer to that. And my parents had, you know, great jobs with Peach Bottom Nuclear Power Plant, and that's where a lot of the people from my area worked at that time. My parents, neither of them went to college, and they got right into the workforce, and they got great jobs there. So a lot of people that lived near us kind of were similar. So they had great jobs and they had the ability to sort of move around for me. They're demanding, you know, ass of a child. And my little brother was around by then. So we moved to be closer to the barn. And then that was the year they made the mistake of buying me ice skate and learned to skate group classes for for figure skating. And I was riding and going to school and skating all at the same time, because basically like a week into my group classes, because I'd already taught myself to skate pretty much from watching TV and skating on a frozen cornfield behind my house, I could skate already and I didn't need a group skating class situation. And I started jumping in the middle of the class. She was the trainer was teaching everyone how to fall down properly, and I was doing an axel, right? So the skating coach was like, okay, Mrs. Weir, you really have to get your kid down here more often. I'll help get you with a coach that is going to be appropriate for Johnny. And, you know, skating is like anything, and it's really easy to get taken advantage of, especially when you are a parent that doesn't know much about the sport and your kid may or may not have talent. I mean, the amount of kids that we've seen get taken for a loop in this sport that really don't have that much talent, but they have money or the opposite way, and people will take advantage. So we were really lucky that this first coach said, Johnny's going to be above my abilities. So here, this is another coach that he should be working with. And anyway, there was a time where I was riding, skating, and going to school at the same time. And I was 12, so I was exhausted all the time from all of these extracurriculars. And, you know, then we made the decision to move to Delaware. I sold my pony. And
Can I jump in for a second? Because it's so crazy listening to you, like how our lives sort of, I mean, obviously we're soulmates, but
parallel universes.
No, but they parallel each other in so many different ways. Like just hearing you, first off, I mean, we'll just put it out there. Pennsylvania babies, number one. Number two was that first love was horseback riding. And then we had to sell, or we personally didn't, but our parents sort of couldn't do both at the time financially. And we kind of gave up that other sport that we love to pursue skating. And I mean, because I'll tell you guys. So what happened is when we moved to Texas, my parents really hated skating. And my mom in particular just thought, hey, like, I mean, I loved horses. She's like, you know, let's just see. Maybe she'd like it. I did like a lesson or two, and then I was in love. So we got a horse, Moonray, and I started riding. I started jumping. We were doing competitions, but the problem is that the equestrian world is an expensive world.
And it's also very elitist too. For those of you out there that have never really dove into that world, it's very elitist, and I think even more so than figure skating. Do you agree, honey?
I would 100% agree.
It's kind of like the dog show in ways that, like, there are breeders that will have young riders ride their horse that they've bred, this purebred, you know, $50,000 horse or pony. They have kids ride them, but they're special kids also from rich families. And, you know, it's all really intertwined like that. It's really weird. Anyway, continue.
Right. So I started doing that. I loved it. And then my parents were like, well, this kind of could work in our favor. She loves Moonray so much. We got to kind of tell her she's going to have to choose, that we couldn't continue to do both. So they asked me, you know, like, we're going to, you know, just financially, we're going to have to choose. So I was like, okay, I'll do skating. And they were in shock because they thought for sure this was like their way of like getting rid of skating or at least making it less important in my life. But it didn't work out. But anyway, I just find it really funny that, you know, and then we skated at university. The University of Delaware is pretty much where I started. And
that's where I started, aside from the cornfield.
That's where you started. So there's so many things that we had in common we didn't even know.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's part of why we have shared childhood values. And I think that's why we get along as adults. But yeah, anyway, we moved so that I could skate. And I went to school in Delaware, which was a whole new kettle of fish, just because in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, we all knew each other. Everyone was the same. Everyone had the same, their parents had the same jobs and the same, everyone looked the same. Everyone was the same religion. And then when I moved to Delaware, it was like I was moving to New York City. It was so big and there were so many different people, different backgrounds, different walks of life. And it was when I was really first exposed to people that weren't, you know, white and Christian. And it was very interesting. And how I assimilated. And then I did middle school for 1 year down here. And then I went to high school at Newark High School for a couple of years. And then I finished my 3 years. And then I finished my last year via homeschooling programs because it was an Olympic year and I had to prepare. Yeah, so that's schooling. So what else we got? What's your favorite color?
Well, schooling for me, and did you know that I was enrolled into a school in Texas throughout my high school? Did I ever tell you about this?
I don't think so.
No, yeah. So I did homeschool, but a lot of time, guys, in the skating world, when you do homeschool, you either do these like internet online classes or sometimes they have a tutor that like the rink, like a lot of
the rink has on staff.
On staff, and that's how you do it. But because my parents were not huge skating fans and really thought that education was going to be the only thing I focused on, they were pretty strict with like the rules of me kind of staying in the sport. And so I couldn't do the traditional homeschool. I had to stay enrolled into, because I was in Texas when I stopped school in sixth grade. And then we stayed, though, and I stayed in school in so-called Texas, even though I wasn't. So I was enrolled into River Oaks High School. And sometimes I would go in if I was ever training in Texas, which was rare, but we still at
home.
You
just go in and walk around and wave and make all the popular plastic girls hate you?
Well, I mean, it was really uncomfortable. Like, it was I say that I was homeschooled because I can't say that I had a normal high school experience because I didn't, you know, I was there. It was so rare that I was actually in class and I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anyone there. I didn't have any of those relationships. I was much closer to, like, I barely knew the teachers. I was much closer to the tutors that worked with me in Delaware and Detroit. So how that worked is all my work had to be filtered and sent back almost on a daily and weekly basis.
It was all fax machine.
Right. So like seriously faxed. And I had, you know, so I kept up with exactly what my fellow high school kids classmates were doing in Texas, even though I wasn't there. And in what my dad did is then we hired three professors from in Detroit. Well, I mean, I was in Delaware for obviously a few years, but then really the bulk of it was Detroit. So I had three tutors. So I would go and skate all day and then I would come home at 3 and, you know, 3 to 7, I had my little schoolroom and three different tutors would come in and out. And it was like a very different type of homeschool, because then when I went on tour, it was really difficult because we still had to do the same thing because I won at 15. So
right.
I was professional and my tutor had to come with me on the road. So that doesn't make it easy when you're trying to fit in with 30-year-olds. And, you know, my parents didn't travel with me. So I was on my own and so adult in so many ways and working a job and, you know, traveling the world. But then I had a tutor and I hated it. I was so angry that my dad made me do it this way. And, you know.
Y equals MX plus B,
well,
Tara.
No, you know why? I just felt like it was so unfair for some reason when I was younger. But now I look back and I'm grateful he did it because I think I got a really good education. And, you know, I did get to graduate with class and I didn't have a normal high school experience. But it was, you know, slightly different than the so-called homeschool that most skaters go through. And at the end of the day, I'm really glad it happened. But it was tough during it just because on tour when everyone's like, okay, we're going to go to dinner. And I'd be like, no, I know I like worked all day with you guys and I just did a show, but I have to go do homework. And it was like my happiest day when I graduated.
Well, because you didn't have to do that anymore.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, the homeschool thing I did, and I can say it now because I'm graduated and I still was very high in my class. I was barely there. And when I was there, I got picked on so much and people were very rude because I was on TV already. And I can only imagine what you had to deal with, because for me, it was just a really small, in a very small way, was I starting to become a known person.
No.
And the school books, I had to basically, so guys, in certain school districts, they're used to having skaters or elite athletes sort of filter through there. So Newark High School, for example, was one of these schools where lots of skaters would go there. So they would help with your scheduling. Well, if you have a good president and PTA and whoever else is in charge of superintendent, whatever. So they'll be very helpful. And the Newark High School is a feeder school for the University of Delaware. And that's where we all skated. And ultimately, like, a lot of skaters end up going to the university. So they kind of cut corners and help the students get whatever they need and still being a public institution, whatever. And I was doing these courses, and it was so hard to do. And we didn't have money for tutors or anything. So I had to do it on my own. And they ended up having to go back to my middle school and take credits from my middle schooling career and put them towards my high school, because I was taking the Smarty Pants classes, like the science extra or whatever right. They're called, group A science. I forget what they're even called. So I had to take health on my own, which was real fun. I was trying to, like, doing the human anatomy and stuff. I was like, oh, well, that's the toe and that's that bone because it's right there. And, you know, it was hilarious.
I could just see you, yeah. Like, doing certain, like,
science projects on myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Deary me. But, it was definitely an interesting school experience. But, you know, moving on, because that was really long, complicated, and I don't know how many young people are there. What, yeah, still listening. So what's your favorite color?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm not serious. This is the podcast.
I'm going to go with a light blue. Pastel blue.
Pastel blue, sky blue.
Like the color of the Happy Feet penguin.
He's gray.
No, he has blue eyes.
Oh, okay. The eyes. You just said the whole penguin.
Sometimes I forget. So, guys, this is a thing that's happening, especially like with Johnny and I start to do it to Todd now. A lot of times, Johnny, you get what I'm saying before I say it and know what I'm thinking before, you know, I speak it. And yes. So many of our conversations, I don't actually finish my sentence or thoughts and you get it. So now it's bad, though, because Todd will be like, What did you just say? Like, I don't understand. You came in and you said elephant. And I was like, you know, that's because of what's happened with Johnny and I. So I thought, of course, when I said the Happy Feet penguin, you would just know it was his eyes. So sorry.
Yeah, no, I apologize. I thought, well, sometimes, okay, so Tara, I make fun of her and I call her a funny name of a former commentator for Olympics. And I'll just call her like that because she just gets a little sidetracked sometimes and she starts looking at her phone and it's funny and she starts squinting her eyes at me. But I thought you actually thought penguins were light blue there for a second. Yeah, but that could also be my own stuff. I'm projecting onto you.
What's your favorite color, Jay?
You know what? I really like white. And but, you know, as many kids have told me, white's not a color, it's a pigment, Johnny. So I think color-wise, I really like an emerald green.
Ooh, yeah, and you have a lot of emerald green.
Yeah, I love emerald green. Speaking of, the Golden Globes are something that Tara and I are going to be at this year. We don't know what's nominated, and we probably won't know when we're there either. But, you know, just to drum up some support for the Olympic Games, we're going to head to the Golden Globes, and we're trying to figure out what colors we should wear.
Fun moment like that. I mean, we did it at the Oscars. And we dressed up like we were getting married to each other.
Yes, marriage.
All white.
And I think I'm having trouble deciding what to wear. So, guys, obviously, just a little insight into the fashion world now. It's real hard to find clothes for these fancy sort of ball events. If you think it's like a prom in certain ways, and their clothes, like Tara and I, when we go to work, we have clothes that we can re-wear. There are clothes that we can wear in real life. There are clothes that we can repurpose. But these big events like this are really hard to do like a one and done sort of let me wear that prom dress situation, because the level is so high. I mean, we're competing with all these famous people, and we want to look just as good and do something just as special. But then you kind of contact certain designers that you might be interested in wearing, or you kind of go through their online shops or whatever and just ask to borrow it for one night, which is something that a lot of design houses do. But they're so specific. There was one time I was we were doing press tour for a documentary I did. And we had asked I was working with a stylist very briefly just to help me organize myself because I was so busy. so busy. And we were trying to get some jackets from Yves Saint Laurent to wear. And they would not allow me to borrow anything because they were only focused on Asian trendsetters at that time. They had wanted no parts of this wearing their clothes as borrows and having to do like that thanks YSL or whatever because I was not specific for that time. So Tara and I are going through the process now of trying to figure out what the hell we're going to wear. So yeah. We're definitely open to your guys' suggestions on our social media.
Yeah, let us know. I mean, emerald green, gold.
I'd like a white emerald gold green. You look good in every color, so.
Aw, you're so sweet. Johnny, let's do one more.
One more question.
This is our first time ever doing this. I think we have room to improve. But getting I think it's a fun, you know, concept.
Getting to know all about you. When I am with you. God, I really love a good sing-along.
You do. One more question.
Yeah, so let's think.
Explain what happens if.
Okay, so Tara, when she is trying to be cute and get her way, actually, that's her thing. When she's trying to get her way, she's never really mean about it. She's just cute about it. Because who's going to say no to 15-year-old face Tara Lipinski, which she still looks like? So she does this thing where she squints her eyes and crunches her nose. And I know that she's working everyone around her, but they have no idea what's happening to them. Todd Kapp also knows. But she started adding something to the nose crinkle and squint of this situation. She'll say, so I'll go through this whole thing about our first on camera, for example, for NBC Live in the afternoon. I'll be like, well, we're going to talk about this, this, and this, and let's hit this, and I want this person, you can take that person. And she says, okay. And then I see the eyes start to squint and the nose crunch because she still thinks this is going to work on me. And ultimately, she'll get her own way because she's her. But she added this thing, and I think she did it to either work Todd or work somebody else out there in California that I don't know. But anyway, I don't know where it comes from. It just started popping up to me recently. But she'll say things like, great, yeah. And then try and listen to my nose crinkling. It's crinkling right now. What happens if we do it like this instead?
What happens if though?
Yeah, like she tries to be real cute about it, but there's no stealth anymore. Like Tara and I have opened each other up to our bathroom habits.
Yeah,
you're not going to get one over on me.
No,
I mean you can try as much as you can, but I'm.
Cause no, I'm you know smart what it is enough. Though. It's not me trying to be cute. It's me trying to be really nice because I never want to just, you know, throw something secretly out there too abruptly and coldly.
She's trying to make it look like she's being nice, but ultimately she's got ice in her veins and she knows what she's getting.
Aww, that's not true.
It's a little bit true. It's how you work people. How do I work people? Do I have like a thing? Or thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for meeting with us today.
Yeah, I say a bunch of fake and that gets funny especially when we're meeting with new people or people that I feel uncomfortable around, which is essentially everyone. I don't like crowds.
Antisocial.
Yeah, that's what Tara said this week. When we were in Lake Placid, she said, "You're so antisocial." Or she was talking to Todd and she said antisocial under her breath as though it's a bad thing. I own it. You know, I am perfectly happy to spend time alone. I love you. Okay, so we need one more fun question.
Okay.
So in a quick breakdown, I want your favorite song ever, your favorite movie ever, and your favorite city around the world that you've visited ever. And why? Song, movie, city.
Oh, boy.
We'll do another one of these some other day, guys, and we have nothing to talk about.
Song? But, song is tough. I mean, it's going to definitely be a Dave Matthews Band song.
Grave Digger!
I mean, there's so many good ones. I don't know. Maybe You and Me by Dave Matthews.
Okay. Can you sing a little bit of that for me? I don't know the words.
No, you know I can't sing.
Can you talk the words
of
it?
Maybe we'll just add it right here. There it goes. You and Me.
Is it the one that goes,
right now.
Is it the one that goes,
Bubba say, Bubba
no, no.
I would like to reach out my hand. Hold me, say, let me tell you. Is it that song?
No, it's not. It's really good. I
that is Dave Matthews, though, is it not?
It is. I mean, okay, good. What you're, oh.
Crash into me.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that one.
So anyway, that would be the song. The movie would be Gone with the Wind. It was my mom's favorite movie, and for some reason, I just always really love the whole Scarlet Rhett, you know, big love tragic love story. And then, wait, what was the other thing? My favorite place to what?
Your favorite city in the whole world.
Rome. By far, Rome is my place. I love Italy. It's like my, I mean, I like the coast of Italy is, it's incredible, but there's something about Rome that's like, you feel the city, but everything's so old and the food's so good. And it's just, it's my favorite place ever.
Somebody who is very fancy and isn't my friend, but sort of a satellite friend of a friend. So, you know, those people, mm-hmm. They're kind of satellite people.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know him and I've hung out with him a few times, but he was telling me he's real fancy. And, he went on this Hidden Rome tour, and it's where basically they have, like, little medallions in the floor of really old apartment blocks and stuff where, like, someone famous died, like some famous actor or artist from back in the day, like these ancient people.
Ooh.
They died there, or they got married there, or their water broke there. And basically they're in these old apartment blocks that are still around, so you get taken into these people's apartment, and by law in Italy, for an hour a day, they have to open their doors. So it's somebody's apartment, but you can walk in and see the place where someone, you know, gave birth or got married or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll try and find out what it is. But, you know, I'm not a really touristy person, but I was kind of all into that.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay, what are your answers?
I would like to reach out my hair. Who am I say? Let me tell you.
So, see, I know some Dave Matthews.
Wait, I don't even know what you were saying.
I was saying, I would like to reach out my hand. Oh, Michelle.
I don't know that. Okay, go it's on.
Crash into me. Okay, so my favorite song.
Yeah, Johnny, I really
songs
don't know
are
that.
Hard.
I think that you were singing. I know you were saying that's Crash Into Me, but I think you were just adding Crash Into Me after a Cher song.
No, I was just singing it like Cher. It wasn't a Cher song. It wasn't Grave Digger.
Okay, go.
Okay. What's my favorite song ever? I mean, one that I'll always love. And she has been my muse for like my whole adult life is Christina Aguilera singing Beautiful. When that video came out and she had all walks of life featured in it, gay dudes kissing in a music video, a really skinny girl, with, like the little boy that worked out all the time that couldn't build muscle. And her voice is just so banging and on point. I love Beautiful because it makes me feel pretty. And all these years later, it still is a wonderful song to me.
Yeah. Okay. So that's your song.
That's my song. I have lots of songs, obviously, as we all do, but that one definitely is right up there. I think my favorite movie is Dr. Zhivago, and that is Russian Snowy classics. And I think that for sure.
And favorite place?
It's so hard because I love them equally, but in very different ways. So Tokyo and Moscow, I think, are my favorite cities in the whole world. Tokyo because of, you know, the cleanliness, the fashion, the way that people treat each other there is so idyllic, and people respect where they live, and they respect that it's an island in Japan's an island, and that if one person's sick, then everybody around them sneezes, like that kind of thing. I love that mentality and how structured and scheduled and blah, blah, blah. And so modern and chic, and you could eat off the ground. And then Moscow, I love because of the history, the crazy architecture, the domes, you can still drive through the city and it's not all sort of whitewashed and new. You can still see all these old Stalinist apartment blocks next to the most beautiful old cathedrals. And then looking at pictures of old Moscow when they had before the revolution and all these beautiful churches and stuff that were blown down and or torn down. And just the energy of the people and how hard you kind of have to work. You know, that gray, gloomy thing that I love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are my cities.
Well, today I really enjoyed this question game of a podcast, and we'll have to revisit it. I mean,
there's nothing more fun than talking about oneself.
I love you, Johnny.
I love you, Tara. Okay, guys, so that's, I know this is a shorty podcast, and I'm sorry, but we're kind of talked out and we have things to do. We're so busy. We love you, and we're so thankful for you guys for listening. Hopefully you got a little insight and maybe learned some things that you did not know about these two crazy people that you hopefully listen to every single week. As always, you can follow us on our social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, and at Tara and Johnny. Be sure to interact with us, and we're so thankful for you, and we love you. And until next time, bye!
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded. Thank you.